I felt like I had a word of blessing for I'm playing Johnny and
Betsy.
Yeah.
Betsy?
Yeah, Betsy. That's really hard to remember. But I got taken up here in all this excitement. But Betsy, I felt like God had just a blessing that He wanted me to extend to you. Now this kind of an open heart's going to receive. How many of you know that? She's going to receive. So, Betsy, so much of he started speaking to me before you went over there, and so much of what you said just confirmed what he was putting in me. But, Betsy, I want to bless you with coming into a brand new place in your walk with him. You have been so faithful, and as you've talked about that with your family. You've been so faithful to pray them through some just disastrous times. I was just seeing times in the night when you wondered whether they were going to come home alive. Just some really, really tough things. But you were there. You were warring for them. You were doing battle for them. And now it's brought you into a new place where the family is at a brand new place. And it's a wonderful place, but it's also a place you're not totally comfortable with. And he wants to show you some ways in which to ride with the changes and to pray in some changes. But I feel like the main thing that I want to bless you with is to find that place with him, a secret place, where he wants to speak so comfortably to you. He wants to speak so just in a magnificent way with you and bring you into a place of a love affair with him that you've never known up to this point. It's just a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful place. And as you clear the decks, you're a doer, and I can relate to that. And God wired you that way. But for a period of time now, he's going to just kind of shed from you that desire to do, and to just sit at his feet and drink in what he has for you, Betsy. And it is so good, you can't even imagine. He's going to couple that wonderful heart you already have with a love for him and a love for others. That's unlike anything you have ever experienced. Truly, he's calling you into that place as a part of that bridal company. You are a part of that bridal group, and you are making yourself ready. He has very, very special, special, special things he wants to do and to say to you. So, Betsy, I just want to bless you. With the love of the Lord, with the life of the Lord, with the light of the Lord. I've never seen you before have such an aura of light around you as you've been here and as I've been watching you and observing what's going on. So I just want to bless you with every good, magnificent, and it is magnificent, things that he wants to bring into your life. Yahweh God, pray a prayer blessing over Betsy, where she will receive every morsel of yourself that you want to implant within her, and you want to grow and produce fruit, great fruitfulness. I feel he's saying is going to come from you, Betsy. Great fruitfulness, and I just bless you. I love you. I'm so glad that you come here to the farm and you see your family, but we're all family. We all get to be a part of that family stuff that you do. So bless you, bless you, bless you, Betsy, in the name of Yeshua. Amen.
Thank you so much.
Oh, So, Betsy, when ma'am first started, I immediately saw the funniest picture. It was a video. It was probably back mid-70s. I used to watch Tarzan and Jane. And I saw this video, and I saw Yeshua walk up to you, and he said, "Me, Yeshua, you, Betsy." And I'm not kidding. It was a living color, full-blown video. And he looked you, after he did that, he looked you right in the eyes, and he said, "There's some things of this world that you're going to have to turn your back on that are trying to take you down. I don't know what you take this and judge it. I'm just telling you what I heard, that there's some things in this of this world that are trying to take you down. Take your time, get your focus on the things of this world." And Tarzan and Yeshua said, "No more. It's not an accident. You're here at this time. This is a season of things coming to an end so that a new thing can begin. And he's offering you today a new beginning with him. But you won't get it unless you put an end to some things that are going on in your life that he says are not good for you. They're going to take you down a path you don't want to go down. And again, judge it. I'm just being obedient to what I'm hearing. But he says, if you want to swing with him, you've got to leave behind the things of the world." And he said, the reason those things have a hold on you is you're bored. That's what he said. You're bored. And he made you for adventure. He put that in you. That's a Yahweh-created desire in your heart, is for the splash, for swinging from the vines. And he says, "I'm the vine. The only vine you're to be swinging from is him." And this is an invitation, but it's a warning. So this invitation that he's offering you is going to be difficult for you because you like action, and he's inviting you into a place of rest and adventure in him, where you set your heart to focus on him, and he will so shock and surprise and invigorate you. You won't miss anything that this world has to offer. He will give you adventures like stealth bombers that just over your head, you know, and on and on and on. That's what he wants to do. But if you, I don't know if you watched Tarzan and Jane back in the mid-70s, but I mean, they lived together alone with the monkeys and the elephants and the whatever. It was their own paradise. And that's what he's offering you. And he longs to give this to you. And that's his intention and that's his purpose. But he wants you to know who you are and who he is. I'm Yeshua, you're Betsy. Tarzan and Jane, let's go swing from the true vine. And you just let it out and do your Tarzan yell, and he'll do his Tarzan yell, and you'll live happily ever after. And that's what you're looking for. And he wants to give it to you. You're not going to find it. You're not going to find it anywhere else. Nowhere else. And that's his invitation. Let these things come to an end. Don't leave this farm. I'm not saying this. I believe the Lord's saying, Betsy, don't leave this farm without putting an end to some things. And you know what they are. He says, you know what they are. Put an end to them so that this new thing that he wants to do with you, for you, and through you can happen. and you've seen the miracle in your three children. And he says, I want to do a miracle in you. Amen.
So I see the vines, Betsy. I see you swinging on the vine. And when you swing on vines, you got to let go of one to grab on the other. And Yeshua is inviting you to catapult with him on his vine. But if you don't let go, that other vine is just going to knock you into a tree because it's not going to go anywhere. It's a visual I saw with that. Hallelujah. Well, we're good at jumping around. What?
Wait, Suzanne, never mind. We're both, huh?
Is it my turn?
Yeah, go.
Oh, okay. Oh no, y'all will come back.
Oh, yes. The vines.
The vines. Tarzan. Grab the vine. You're going to hit a tree.
No, as Rhonda was talking, I just leaned over and asked her, I was like, in the movie at one point, like, didn't he try to, like Tarzan try to fit and go, like, with Jane to, like, what was it, the new world, or, like, somewhere out of that habitat that, like, you know, Yahweh, like, it was created for him, and I just felt like Yahweh was saying, like, but, like, Tarzan, he didn't fit, and, like, it didn't work, and, like, going out of the place that Yahweh, like, has for you, like, specifically for you, like, it's not, you're not gonna fit. Like, you may want it, and it may, like, look enticing, and, like, that's what, like, you're supposed to, like, be doing, or just look good in all its ways, but, like, it ended up, like, it wasn't for him. Like, he didn't fit, you know, and I feel like you'll either find that you're not gonna fit any place else than what Yahweh has for you, and where he's created that paradise, that specific place just for you. And anywhere else that you try to go or anything else that you try and do, it's not going to work. So.
Amen.
Bless you.
That's so right. Right on.
The Lord's always doing a little humorous play on words and stuff on me. And so you were talking about Tarzan and Divine. And I'm like, he said, yep, I'm divine. Yeshua is divine.
Divine. That's all.
Follow that. No, I'm not doing business. I'm his business. Well, I am switching from Betsy, going back to Binet. Okay, so this is what I was going to say. I love this church because we could just go here, and then we can go back here, and then we'll go back there. So, popcorn. So when Binet had the amazing call on us to, can we tarry one more hour, I felt that Yahweh wanted me to share this with you all. That if you're, I'll just use me as an example. In the last few days, suddenly this anxiety comes on me, and who likes anxiety? It is no fun. And I'm not normally that way. But I finally figured out that it was a call to intercession because my spirit was feeling something. And so I intercede, and it goes away. And so if this is something I felt Yahweh wants to bring up to us, if you're feeling funky, come on, it's not about us. It's about what's going on in the spirit to go in an intercession and get off of me. And what would I, that's what I, like, get out of myself and go, Yahweh, what are you saying? Because also what I noticed when the anxiety came, I wanted to go to my beeps. And I'm like, you know, I've been partially fasting this season. I'm like, no, I'm not going to my beeps. And so I went to the Lord, and he showed me it was intercession. So to follow Binet's word, on September 14th, Yahweh had a word through Rhonda, and I want to present it to us again. Have you groaned and wept before Yahweh? Have you wept, fasted, and prayed over the condition of yourself, your spouse, your family, this nation, the church? Are you crying out for transformation? Are you weeping over your sin? Are we weeping over our sins? Or are you waiting for someone else to do it? Are you giving, believing negative reports or faith-filled reports? What is the condition of your heart, your mind, your will? So I feel this is the same questions from what Yahweh was speaking through Binay. Are we going to contend in the last hour? And these questions, I think, are really pertinent to that right now.
So I just find myself so physically exhausted. And to come into a place you know, you want to come into a new place at your top of your game, right? But I'm telling you, Scott and I are coming in at the lowest of the lowest of our game. I've always been really physically strong. And Scott is superiorly physically strong. And if there are people who like to grind it out in servanthood and work and just doing the work of the ministry, I mean, we're your peeps. We're your peeps, man. And it could have been the timeline. I mean, I think today it'll be 1 month since we've been here, and it was only 6 weeks. We moved in 6 weeks. I didn't even get to say goodbye to people. And I had days, we didn't even sleep. There were whole days we didn't even sleep. And so I just say, like, I feel so weak. Like physically, like, just can't muster it up. And then, you know, when you work a work in the spirit, if you're dancing or whatever you're doing, it's physical activity. You know, and I just was thinking, y'all probably think that everything I'm doing is just commonplace to me, but it's not. I don't get up in front of a bunch of strangers and weep between the porch and the altar. But it's my part. You know, everybody has their part. The other day when one of the two of you were playing on the piano and you were hitting this one note, ding, and it was like cutting in the spirit that night. I was like, oh, that's their part. They're doing their part. So I say that to say, in our weakness, the Holy Spirit and Yahweh, that they want to draw so near, right? Because all of a sudden you're vulnerable and your kind of protective gates they're down. If you let the right things in, it just can draw so near to Yahweh. And so I'm having the most beautiful moments. Mim and Binay, I don't know, they probably think we're shouting. We're just like, oh, they're praising the Lord downstairs. And, you know, I'm just having these moments. But I'm also having moments where I'm like, okay, I'm going to get ready. And then I'm all of a sudden wake up 15 minutes later because I've just had a nap. And in the middle of that, I just was thinking about, like, why am I not getting these things done in my house? I love having a beautiful home. Why am I not getting it done? And just kind of berating myself. You know, just like, get it together, Marcy. You're here in this new place. And you're just, what are you doing? Why can't you muster it up? And I heard Yahweh just say, Marcy, what if I'm really 7 years. Catch my point. I'm not suggesting in any way he was giving me a timeline. He was reminding me of my priorities. And the question was, what would shift? What would change in me? And I said to the Lord, because I'm just that stinking stubborn, the cost, Yahweh, the cost. It's cost us so much to get here. The cost. And it was this, like, mirror, you know. The cost, Marcy. I called you to be just like me. Will you lay it down? And all the things, all the money, the tens of thousands of dollars. And then the mirror. But I own the cattle on a thousand hills. It was all mine anyway. The time, the priority, and I just... As B'nai was prophetically charging us, the fire erupting in her, the Lion of Judah coming out of her. The question of the day is, will you let him change your priorities? And how in the heck do we do that? You know, it takes Yahweh to love Yahweh. Yahweh, we just come before you right now in this moment, and we beseech you. We beseech you to help us to see our own timelines, our own agendas, our own... How do we do it all? How do we mother? How do we parent? How do we prepare? How do we do all the farm stuff? How do we engage? How do we do Elul? How do we have the holy days? How do we do it all? There is a way in you. And we need you to divinely inspire us. We need you to ignite our hearts and strengthen our backs and strengthen our bodies and multiply our time. This is the time. Oh, this is the time. We need strength from on high. We literally need manna from on high. We need blueprints from heaven. Just like Ed talked about with Dave, we need blueprints from heaven to know how to do things better and quicker. But Father, any place where we're holding on to our own will, that it's got to look the way it looked in this season, the way it did in the last season, and that has to be run the way it did, and my house has to look the way it did, and I need to be doing X, Y, and Z the way I did, and why isn't that person not doing it the way they did it before, and whatever it is, Lord, we just lay it down. We lay it down. We lay our agenda down. We lay it down, Father. There is a river that makes glad. There is a river that makes glad. Father, help us to tap into the gladness of your heart. Because it will sustain us. I'm just going to swing right over into Will. Because it ties in. I'm just going to cry through the whole darn thing. So, Will, I heard the Lord very clearly say, I call this man Will the William. And I knew it was a name change for you. So I looked up what William meant. It means strong protector. But what it actually means is it's two words put together. Will, or the desire, coming under the helm or protection of Yahweh. And I believe that the Lord is changing your name to William, to he who has the desire and will now and has been coming under the helm or the hood or protection or hat of Yahweh. And because you have done that, the Lord is changing your name. And he is calling you that he is not, you are not the strong protector. You represent that and you are like that, but he is your strong protector. And it made me think of 2 Corinthians where Paul has the thorn in his side. And he pleads with the Lord three times, take it away from me. But the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And then Paul said, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. And this is why, for Yeshua's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And I believe that this is going to become your life verse, that you will be strong when you boast in your weaknesses, that it will bring you a humility of the Lord. It is your way in and your way out. And I hear the Lord say, you are strong in me. I do not see you as a weak man, and I do not count your sins against you. And I know that you know that, but you don't know that you know that you know that. And today is the day where the washing of the water of the word comes. Shame is not your portion, and it's not the portion of the whole of your family. It is not the portion of the whole of your family. It is not the portion of the whole of your family. There is no disgrace over your name in heaven. There's not none. There's not one thing that says disgrace over you. You're known as valiant, as a fighter, as a contender, as the strong one, as the loyal one. So today, it's like there is a line in the sand. And just as a prophetic act, I would encourage you to step up and just step right over it. I'll do it with you. On this day, Will, William, that's right. That's right. Because we learn line upon line, precept upon precept, says Yahweh. And so you're stepping over into a new line and a new time. It's a new time in your season. It's a new time in your season. And everything that's been buzzing in your ears, says Yahweh, all of those accusations, those whispers in the middle of the night, they will cease and desist now in the name of Yahweh. Not because I say it, but because I believe Yahweh is declaring it out over you. It's not your portion, and you need to stop eating at that table. It's not. Oh! Feel that. It's not your portion, and you need to stop eating at that table. You will no longer dine. Because his banner over you is love. So, Father, we agree with your timeline over William. We agree with your timeline, and we say, let it be, yes and amen, because it is so. It's been decreed all the way from the third heaven down. And I want to say over you, Will, that you are called to be a priest and a king. We all are, but that is the scripture over you. You need to remember that you wear a crown and you are seated in heavenly places with Yeshua at the right hand of the Father. And so your words have power, and it's time for your tongue to be loosed. It's not going to look like me. It's not going to look like anybody else here. But there is going to be a power and an authority that will come on you that will begin to change things and shift things. We need your voice. We need your voice. All right? Amen.
So when we were all praying over you earlier, well, so I just proclaim that I will not bow down to fear any longer, and even if I end up passing out when I'm giving a word, so be it. That's what it feels like most of the time. But it's going to be okay. So, and I will. Hey, Will. Will, I will. I will, Will. Anyway, when we were praying over you earlier, I remembered how when you first came on the farm, and I think you just came like a few weeks prior to this, and Juliana and me were working in the garden together, and she, it was just, you know, like always, she was just like, hey, we need to pray for Will. Or just like, can you pray for Will if you have something to pray for him? And and she would just be praying for your day, just praying for Yahweh to encounter you, just praying that she would have strength. Just, I mean, because you were coming out of a lot of different things in that time, so she was just praying for you all the time and asking, enlisting other people to come and fight for you. And just to be able to stick it out and to persevere. And during one of those times, we were praying, and I just really felt like the passage in Ezekiel 37 came to mind. And so I was telling Juliana about that. It's about the Valley of Dry Bones. Mm-hmm. And I started, and I felt like he was, do you remember this, Julie? Yeah. And I was telling her, and I was like, because it says, because I was reading about it a few days prior to this, and then when we started praying for you, I was like, wow, this is about Will. And because it says, I'll just read it, It says, the hand of Yahweh, and this is Ezekiel speaking, the hand of Yahweh was upon me, and he brought me out into the spirit of Yahweh and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. And he led me around among them, and behold, there were very, very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Yahweh God, you know. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of Yahweh. Thus says Yahweh God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you. And you shall live, and you shall know that I am Yahweh. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to its bone, and I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says Yahweh God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says Yahweh God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from my graves, well, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am Yahweh when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am Yahweh. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares Yahweh. And so I was reading that a few days prior to that, and then I remember, because you had first come there, and it talks about the part where he prophesied to the bones, and when he prophesied over the bones, skin covered them, and they were made able to stand, and they were being formed, and they were physically able to stand up and start. They were being just formed or just remade, you know, brought back to life. But then, yet there was still no spirit in them, and so. Or no, wait, hang on. Yeah. And so, I remembered that, and I was telling Juliana, I was like, this is a picture of what Yahweh is doing in Will, because when he's coming onto the farm, he's being, you know, formed, he's being, you know, like, made physically able, and just different things that you're coming out of, and then I was like, but then, you know, like, the spirit will come and move, you know, in you. So there's, like, two parts of the process of, like, you're being, you know, brought out of and into, but then he breathes in you and moves in you and brings you into something, into the thing that he's created you for. And he starts breathing and moving, and then you turn into, you know, his warrior, his son, and his, just the warrior that he's created you to be. And so we started praying for you, and we started, I can't remember specifically, but I think we were just like praying over you, like dry bones come to life. And we were just praying over you and proclaiming that over you. And so when Betsy was saying, wow, these bones were very dry, even then Yahweh knew, and he was moving on your behalf. And he was like, and he said, I have spoken, and I will do it, declares Yahweh. So it's like nothing is standing, is keeping him, is will keep him from doing what he has promised. Even when you start to question and doubt and get into fear, you remember what he's done in you, what he will continue to do in you. Because your life is a testimony of his glory. It's not your own. And what you've not just what you've been able to fight through, but it's what he's done in you, what he's brought you up out of, because you allowed him to do that and you said yes to him and he brought you up out of it and he put his breath in you and his spirit in you, and you will walk in his ways and his statutes and his commandments, and you will have joy and you will have peace and you will have his spirit in you, and you will walk in that all the days of your life. And you will not have to live in fear anymore. And so I just bless you with that in Yeshua's name. And bless you with that truth. That's what he has done for you. It's what he is doing and what he will continue to do. And you don't have to walk with your head hung down anymore. Because that's not who you are. You're his son. And you have been redeemed. And so when you hear those lies come into your head telling you what you've done or what you've thought or what has happened, you remind them that you are redeemed and that your life is not your own. So when somebody wants something, wants to mess with you, they're messing with what's inside of you, and they don't get to mess with that without having consequences. So I just want to bless you with that, Will, and just to remember that and hang on to that. So bless you. And so, amen. And so I'll swing over to you, Marcy. Because when you...
That's awesome.
You feel how sweaty my hands are right now? I probably don't want to, so it's fine. It's funny that you were talking, you gave that verse to Will. You gave that verse to Will about the thorn being on Paul's side, because as you were speaking and you were pouring out your heart, that's the verse that I heard for you, was before you ever said that to Will. And so I just feel like Yahweh wants you to know that even however many thorns there are in your side or in your head or your feet or all over you, surrounding you, and you feel like you can't move without having pain, he says, and you cry out to him, help me, help me, help me, help me. He says, my grace is sufficient for you, Marcy, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, you can boast all the more gladly of your weaknesses, so that the power of Yeshua may rest upon you. For the sake of Yeshua, then, you can be content with your weaknesses, with insults, with hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when you are weak, Marcy, then you are strong. And so I just feel like that's what he was saying. And I also heard, or when you were talking about how, or just the cost, or just how the cost has been so great for you to pack up everything and move to where Yahweh said to move to. I looked all over. I could not find it. The passage in the Gospels when Yeshua said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures in on earth, where the moth and rust and the moth will break in and destroy. But lay up for yourself, or store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where the moth, the rust, and the moth will not break in and destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. So as you're like laying things down in the natural every day, and you're surrendering them, whether it be finances, possessions, people, relationships, whatever it may be, that each time you lay something down in the spirit, you're gaining so much more than you ever could have gained in the natural. So I just bless you with that, to know that as you are walking in that surrender, you're continuing to store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, and you will by no means lose your reward for what you're choosing to do now, because it's very, very great. So I just want to bless you with that, and both you and Scott, wherever Scott is. So bless Scott wherever he is. So, yes. Amen. You're welcome. And I don't think that I had anything else, but might as well ask. Cause, I think that's it for now. Does anyone else have?
I just want to give the glory to Yahweh. 14 months ago, I was laying lifeless. I was dead, and I was going to hell. And He saved me. He lifted me up with His righteous right hand. He said, "No, you're not going. You're mine." And I repent, because after that, I was wishing I would have died, because I couldn't deal with the shame. I just want to give the glory to Yahweh for what He's done in my life, and what He's going to do in my life, and what He's doing in all of our lives. He is moving in power. Thank you, Yahweh. Thank you, Yahweh. Thank you. He has renewed in me a future and a hope. And He has lifted my head high. And He's lifted us all up. And I just give Him the glory for everything that He's done in my life and all of our lives. I just thank you, Yahweh. Everything He's done in our family. Redemption. That's the word that keeps coming through my head, is redemption. He breathed His life into me, literally. I was dead, and He brought me back to life. And I repent for ever doubting anything that He's done in my life, or not giving Him the glory. I give Him the glory for everything that He's done, every breath that I've taken. Thank you, Yahweh. Thank you, Yahweh. Yes. Yeah, and I just would like to put a stake in the ground right now, proverbial stake in the ground, and say, no more to the enemy. No more. No more. No more the lies. I stand on Yahweh's truth. Thank you, Yahweh. Thank you, and praise Your holy name. Amen.
When Marcy was talking to you, I saw the Lord come and do what I'm doing in front of you. And this is what He said. William, I am the Son of Yahweh. I'm perfect. I have all power, all strength, all might. And when they ask me who I am, I said, I am meek and lowly and gentle of heart. I could have answered differently. I could have told them how I created the universes and how many galaxies there are. I could have told them every detail of any problem they ever want to know the answer to. But instead, I gave them the greatest treasure there is, the truth of who I am. I'm meek, and I'm lowly, and I'm gentle of heart. And son, that's who you are. That's who you are. Don't ever try to be smart. Don't ever try to be a genius. Don't ever try to be the best of this or the best of that. Stay meek and lowly and gentle of heart, son. I gave you a gift the day you died. Don't be ashamed of the gift I gave you. I gave you my life. And I gave you hope. And I gave you a future. And I know the plans that I have for you. And they're plans for good. Yahweh good. Not evil. Satan had plans for you. Evil plans. To destroy you. But Yahweh. The Yahweh factor. I've watched over you. I've been drawing you for years. And you set your will against my will. But I won. My love wins. And you surrendered even after I raised you up on your feet. That's all I've ever wanted. Your surrender. And today, I'm giving you a stake to put in a casket that doesn't belong to you. It belongs to Satan. And the stake is, I don't have to be smart. I don't have to be like everybody else. I don't have to figure it all out. I don't have to be anything except meek and lowly and gentle of heart. Because that's the richest treasure there is. And that's who you are. And that's powerful. And Satan hates it. It destroys him. Use it. Throw that trump card down when he comes at you. Take that stake and throw it in his face. I'm meek and lowly and gentle of heart. Just like Yeshua. I'm okay with that. It's pretty good. He loves you very much, enough to save you from certain eternal death. He saved you. He didn't have to. Nobody forced him to. He chose to. Because he knows the soil inside of you is good soil. And you're going to bear much fruit. And it won't always come from what you say. It's who you are. You are meek and lowly and gentle of heart. And that's good enough for Yahweh. And it's good enough for everybody else. Will you let it be good enough for you? There's no shame in that. None at all. Will you let it be good enough for you? There's nothing he can't do. Don't limit him. There's nothing wrong with your mind. You watch and see if that's not true. May I lay my hands on your head? In the name of Yeshua, the mind of Christ. There he is. Just receive him. Go deeper, Yahweh. The mind of Christ. There you go. Receive him. The mind of Christ. Yeah. The mind of Christ.
the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. Meek, lowly, and humble of heart. The mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. Healed in the name of Yeshua. The mind of Christ. Healed in the name of Yeshua. The mind of Christ. All neuron pathways healed in the name of Yeshua. The mind of Christ. You are a walking miracle. In the name of Yeshua. Thank you, Yahweh, for what you're doing in his brain. I thank you for rewiring and making synapses and all the things that you're doing right now. I thank you for it. We give you all the honor and all the glory and all the praise that can only come from you. Only you can raise a man from death. And only you can heal a brain. And only you can heal a heart. And only you can give life. Yahweh, I ask that you would continue what you're doing in his brain until it's complete. If it takes 7 days or 7 hours or 7 weeks, whatever, Yahweh.
Or 7 minutes.
Or 7 minutes or 7 seconds. Just thank you for what you're doing. And we just say you're faithful to complete and perfect that which you've begun in William's life. In Yeshua's name.
I just wanted to say I'm glad you're part of the family. I never, you know, you said you had a hard time dealing with shame. It's not God's. God doesn't go, that boy's shameful. That's not what he says. What he does, he goes, I love that man. That's what God says. The enemy, he lies all the time. He's really a good liar. So if you see anything like that, trust me, it's a lie. So bless you in the name of Yeshua. Amen, brother. Love you too, man.